sermon, and you'll see why. So our text today comes from 1 Samuel 1, 1 through 20. It can be found in the orange Bibles ahead of you on page 183. You can follow along, or you can just sit back, relax, and listen to the story. The birth of Samuel. There was a certain man from Maranatham, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, the son of Elu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, the son of an Ephraimite, who had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival kept provoking her until she wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why are you not eating? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting there on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed out to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, "Lord Almighty, if you only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept praying, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went on her way, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and went back to their home at Ramah. And Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel because she said the Lord had answered her prayer. And so we see our very first point for today is beloved yet barren. So right at the beginning of our story, we see that Elkanah, Hannah's husband, had one wife too many. Throughout the Bible, whenever there is polygamy, now usually it's multiple wives, not husbands. What's that about? It never works out well, and it only causes many problems, troubles, hardships, and jealousy. And I want to let you know that God never endorses polygamy. It says in Scripture that Hannah could not have children, but her rival, Peninnah, could have children. In fact, she kept popping them out one after another and rubbing it in Hannah's face. Her rival provoked her in order to irritate her. "You can't have children, but I can. I am the better the wife." In Hannah's culture, infertility was not a private sorrow. It was a public shame. Hannah was very vulnerable because she had no children. and she was looked down upon. In this society of Hannah's, children were a status symbol. In fact, people would have been spreading rumors and gossiping about Hannah that she must have done something really wrong or sinned against God for him to close her womb. Peninnah would harass Hannah to the point of tears, heartbreak, and depression. Talk about an arch rival. Sadly to say, her husband wasn't much better, and he didn't show much compassion or understanding to Hannah. Right after her rival would mock and poke fun of her, Elkanah would say, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Huh, I don't know. Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? What a chump. Seriously, he has no clue of the pain that she is going through and the shame she is going through alone." And Hannah could have responded by saying, "I want to punch you in the face right now." And if I'm honest, I would have done it. I would have just punched him, and I would have punched her rival in the face too. So good thing this story is about Hannah and not Hannah. So Elkanah tried to make up for Hannah's unhappiness by giving her a special portion, a double portion of meat at the yearly celebration, because he loved her and he felt bad that she had no children. But this only backfired, and it made her rival more jealous and angry, and it caused her to be more cruel toward Hannah. Hannah was not only struggling with barrenness, but I think what was even harder, that she was walking this painful journey all alone. It appeared like everyone around her totally misunderstood her, publicly shamed her, slandered her, and falsely accused her. So if you came this morning and you find yourself in a season of barrenness, whether it's with infertility, singleness, loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of a dream, hopes, or you find yourself spiritually barren, Jesus is here today, and he wants to sit with you in your barrenness. God sees you. You are not invisible to the Heavenly Father. Therefore, turn to God in your suffering this morning. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Not only does God want us to draw near to you today, but he also wants to help provide others who can come alongside you in your suffering, to listen to your pain and to pray for you. You can experience this by coming up for prayer today at the end of the service during ministry time. You can experience this by joining a summer small group so you don't feel so isolated and alone, and you can get connected in a community that can check in with you each week and say, "How can I pray for you?" The enemy loves to pick us off and make us think and feel like we are all alone in our suffering and that no one understands. But God can use a season of barrenness to draw us closer to him and closer to others through prayer. So if you came here today and your life, your soul, or your heart feel barren, take comfort that God may want to birth something new in you and in me out of our season of barrenness. You are God's dearly beloved daughter and son, or son. Hannah was beloved yet barren. She chose to cry out to God in her suffering through persistent prayers. And that is our second point. The Bible tells us that she prayed for a child year after year after year. She kept praying through all the bitterness of her soul, all the heartbreak and the anguish. She continued to cry out to God for the deep longings of her heart, and she was determined to not stop praying until God answered. Longings are always understood clearly by God. God hears all the cries of your heart. God loves you and he cares for you more than anybody else in this whole world. For all the parents that just dedicated their babies to the Lord, God loves your children more than you love your children, which is hard for us parents to fathom because we love our children so much. But our Papa in heaven loves us even more. And he loves our kids even more than we possibly could. Jesus is aware of the smallest hurt in our hearts that we don't need to hide it from him, but bring it to him in prayer. A quote from Daring to Draw Near by John White, the book that we're using for this series, says, "We shall never outgrow the need for childlike prayer for all of our needs." We shall never outgrow the need for childlike prayer. Kids are so persistent in their needs and their wants, and they have no problem asking over and over and over until they get a response or an answer they want. Mom, 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 mom. Yes, child, what do you want me to do for you? I don't answer so graciously. They're usually like pulling on my arm and hanging on me, you know. I have a couple sons at home. Jesus is asking us the same question today. What do you really want, desire, and hope for? What do you want me to do for you? What dreams or longings have you given up praying for that God might be calling you to begin persistently praying about? Often we stop praying when we can't see with our tangible difference with our natural eyes, that we allow our circumstances to get between God and to get between us instead of putting God in between us and our circumstances. Jesus is asking us, will you and I be faithful prayer warriors to cry out to him first and foremost and not give up when life gets hard and we don't see God moving or answering our prayers? Hannah kept persistently praying despite all the obstacles around her and all the people who were against her. Eli the priest was included with all the people who falsely criticized her. It says in verse 13 and 14, Eli said, "How long are you gonna stay drunk? Put away your wine." Oh my goodness, once again, she's completely misunderstood, publicly humiliated and falsely accused of being drunk in church by her own pastor, the priest. Hannah could have listened to all the negative and powerful voices coming at her. Her rival, who is out for blood and tears, her husband urging her to be content, the crowd who is slandering her, or the cynicism of Eli the priest, who totally mistook her anguished prayer for drunkenness. But she didn't. Instead, she poured out her broken heart through persistent prayers. She cried out to God, even though it made her look like a fool. John Wimber, founder of the Vineyard Movement, said, "I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you?" I want to be a fool for Christ. And you know what that means sometimes? Jesus taps me on the shoulder when I'm shopping at Aldi and says, "Hannah, I want you to go pray for that person. Here's the word. Go, do it." Sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't, but every time I listen and I'm at the park and I go up to the stranger and I say, "Can I pray for you?" and God shows up, man, I am so blessed. I think I'm more blessed than they're blessed. So I want to encourage all of us to be fools for Christ. Amen. Hannah didn't pretend she was all fine. She didn't compromise or numb the pain. Where in our lives are we listening to the negative voices all around us or our own stinking thinking? Thank you, Joyce Myers. Where might God be asking us to stop listening to other cynicism or start listening to his voice of truth through daily prayer, scripture reading, worship, and creation? Hannah could have chosen to numb the pain with alcohol, like Eli falsely accused her of, but she chose to pray instead. Where might you and I be choosing to numb our pain? It might be through alcohol, drugs, food, sex, social media, gaming, TV. You fill in the blank of where you numb your pain. Where do we need Jesus to heal our barrenness rather than us numb our pain? The world offers so many quick fixes to ways to lower our standards, our expectations, or our dreams. Jesus is here today offering something better than what the world could ever offer. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come, come to me." He calls us to the cross and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Lay your weariness and burdens at the foot of the cross and let Jesus take them for you." Yep. It is our choice if we're going to surrender the negative voices, the false coping mechanisms, our sins, and choose to place our trust in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross to heal us. And that leads us to our third point, surrender and trust. In verse 10 and 11, Hannah, in her deep anguish, prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow saying, "Lord Almighty, if you only look upon your servant's misery, remember me. Do not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." Hannah faithfully trusted that she was willing to surrender her firstborn without even being asked or even being pregnant yet. Hannah's pain drove her to make a vow with God. "If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you, God." But all too easily, such vows can be attempts to buy God's favor. But hers was truly unselfish because she was literally giving God back her son. So there can be little doubt that Hannah's prayer and Hannah's vow was divinely inspired by the Lord. Because the repercussions are hard to exaggerate for Israel's history, which affects us today. Hannah didn't know the consequences her vow would have, but God knew. He had allowed her to become so desperate for God to move in her life to make a vow to surrender her firstborn in trust. Through prayer, the Holy Spirit works in us so that we collaborate with him to become more Christ-like. As we grow in maturity and trust in the Lord, God's will, God's purposes and God's honor will increasingly concern us. Another quote from Daring to Draw Near. For Hannah, her testing was in her barrenness. But I want to be clear that this is Hannah's story. Meaning, if you're struggling with infertility, I am not saying that God is purposely testing you to see if you'll be obedient to purpose, to pray, surrender, and trust the Lord. I want to make that clear. But God will allow and he will use testing in our lives to help us mature, to help us grow, and to help us become more dependent on him. Hannah went through all the testing in a very admirable an honorable way. Hannah is a great hero of the Bible. She was dependent on God first and foremost in the midst of her deep anguish, sorrow, and loss. Hannah beautifully demonstrates generously giving back to God what she longed for, what she waited for, what she prayed for so many years. She surrendered and trusted the Lord with her most desired gift in the whole stinking world. And she dedicated her son to the Lord's service to be raised in the temple. She vowed to surrender and trust the Lord with her son before she even conceived or received him. What incredible faith and sacrifice. We all have deep longings and desires of our hearts that we hope for and we pray that will come to fruition. And sometimes when we finally get them, we might say, "It's mine. He's mine. She's mine. I did it. I made it happen. I worked so hard for this." And God is calling each of us to daily surrender and trust him with the greatest longings and desires of our heart. If we receive what we're longing for the most, will we keep surrendering it back to the Lord? Will we keep surrendering it back to the Lord? Just like each of the parents who beautifully dedicated their children to the Lord today, what an amazing gift, an act of surrender and trusting the Lord with this incredible gift that he has generously given you. I have been challenged to daily surrender and trust the Lord with each of my 6 sons. It started when I first got pregnant and I had my firstborn over 17 years ago. And I was so afraid to go to bed at night because I was afraid he was going to suffocate. Do I put him on his front? Do I put him on the back? I don't know. They tell you to do both. Which one do you do? And I'm still have to surrender my babies today because one has a driver's license and one goes off with friends and does this and one does this. And God has to gently take this mama's hand and say, "Hannah, do you trust me? Hannah, do you trust me with each of your babies that I am going to look after them, that I'm going to love them and protect them better than you can?" And this mama has to say, "Papa, I trust you. These babies, these sons are your sons first and foremost. You love them more than I do. Help me trust you." This isn't a one-time act. It's choosing to daily surrender and trust the Lord with whatever is heavy on our hearts and whatever is consuming our minds. And this leads us to our 4th and final point, joy in the midst of suffering. Hannah's persistent prayers of sorrow turned to joy. When Eli the priest took the time to actually listen to Hannah and not judge her, she felt understood for once. And this brought her so much joy that it changed the outlook. It said her appearance changed. We all long to genuinely be listened to and truly understood, especially in our suffering. Know that when you pour out your heart to our Father God in heaven, he will be listening intently and understanding profoundly. In verse 19 and 20, Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. The unhappiness of Hannah's life faded away when the Lord remembered her. Her rival is never mentioned again in the Bible. Her sense of God's direct involvement in her life transformed it. Another quote from Daring to Draw Near: pain had driven Hannah to the very arms of God. God's larger purpose for Israel was linked with a loving purpose for Hannah. He led her gently through the suffering that he might enlarge her capacity for joy. Where in your life Do you need God to gently lead you through the suffering so that he might enlarge your capacity for joy? Personal suffering is never wasted or meaningless for the child of God. God could have plans to do something through your pain that extends far beyond your life. In addition, he may give you through your pain an increased capacity to help others who are suffering. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "For he is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come along those and any painful trial they are going through so we can bring them the same comfort that he has poured out upon us. So we can experience so much joy, so much love, so much peace as we allow our Papa, our Father God, to comfort us in our suffering. But we also can experience so much joy as we partner with Christ to come along others who are suffering and to bring them comfort. But we can't comfort others well if we haven't first received comfort from our Lord. We can generously give away joy, love, and comfort from the overflow and abundance that God has poured into us. And I'm gonna share one more personal story, but I wanna give some context. I am incredibly grateful that God gave me the gift to conceive, carry babies to full term. I'm incredibly grateful for each of my 6 sons. I'm incredibly grateful that I am a boy mom, and none of my sons are a mistake, and I do not want any of them to be girls. So I want to give you all of that context to say, I always longed for a little girl of my own. And I faithfully prayed to God for a daughter year after year, pregnancy after pregnancy. And the waves of emotion hit me at different times, at Easter and Christmas when I would not be able to buy that dress, or prom when I see girls getting ready and I'm not getting their hair, doing their hair and doing their makeup. I'm also a cosmetologist, and so it, God didn't answer this prayer, longing and desire of my heart, but he still brings me joy in my grieving, the joy of blessing my nieces and being a part of their lives, the joy of blessing, mentoring, and investing into all many of the young women and the girls here at our church and at many Vineyard churches across our region that I get to go to youth retreats on, and I get to be their spiritual mama. And the joy of someday, God willing, I will have a beautiful daughter-in-law or daughter-in-laws, and maybe, God willing, granddaughters. And I share this story with you because God doesn't always answer our prayers or the desires of our heart the way that we want him to. But, he always comforts us in our grieving. And he always brings us moments of joy in the midst of our sorrow. Hannah could have decided that praying for a child for a year was enough and stopped praying. Instead, Hannah remained faithful in prayer year after year after year. Her persistent prayers of sorrow turned to joy. God remembered Hannah, and she gave birth to a son. And not only was her son a blessing to her, but it changed the whole nation of Israel around her, because her son would become God's messenger to the world. And he would anoint the first 2 kings, King Saul and King David, all because of one woman's persistent prayers. I'm going to say that again because it's really powerful. All because of one woman's persistent prayers. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Your prayers, my prayers, are powerful and effective. So let's pray like they are. Let's mean it. In closing and moving into ministry time, Hannah's example still speaks to all of us today on this Mother's Day 2026. We all live with the gap between God's great promises and our current reality. Whether the gap is in our singleness, our infertility, broken marriages, estranged families, lost children, hurt friendships, bad health, or struggling finances, you fill in the blank. Where is the gap in your life? The world offers quick fixes to numb our pain, but through Hannah's story, God shows us a better way. You are beloved even in your barrenness. God loves our persistent prayers. Fill the gap with prayers. Surrender and trust God with your pain this morning. We can experience joy in the midst of suffering, like the story I shared from my life. So here's the invitation to all of us today, those sitting here and those watching online. If you're suffering with loneliness, or you're feeling misunderstood in your barrenness, Jesus longs to draw near to you. Recognize the negative voices that are trying to have more power over you than God's voice of truth. Where are you numbing the pain? Where am I numbing the pain? Or getting quick fixes instead of turning to God to heal you, comfort you, and love you? What dreams and longings have you let go of that God might want you to start persistently praying about again? Wait, watch, listen, invite Jesus to partner with you. And he can turn a personal ache in our lives a part of his big mission to bring grace and favor to many. The Father God longs for each of us, each of his children, to come to him first and foremost in our pain, in our sorrow, in our anxiety, in our depression. Jesus longs for a personal friendship with every single one of us. He longs that we would talk to him daily about everything that is on our hearts and is on our minds. And you might find yourself asking this question as I've been talking about prayer this morning. Does the God of the universe really listen to my prayers or care about my hurt, concerns, fear, or worries? And the answer is an astounding yes, yes, yes. If you're longing to start this friendship with Jesus, if you're longing to have this daily connection with Jesus where you can talk to him about everything that is going on, if you want that true friendship, or you desire to recommit your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to pray this beautiful prayer with me. And let Jesus come and meet you right where you're at today. The prayer is up on the screen. It's going to be in a moment. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to purposely pray slowly and have pauses. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. I am sorry for the ways that I am numbing the pain or turning to quick fixes. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything I know that is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you rose again to conquer death, Satan, and sin. Thank you for offering me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift into my heart. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And if you just